Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody is doing all right. I am your backup host, filling in for Dr. John Stamey, Dave Atwill filling in this evening. And we appreciate everybody joining us for Pop Culture Stars on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo of 2021. So tonight, we are going to have an abbreviated crowd because our good friend Todd Saxon is out getting a little rest from his journey back to Indianapolis. So I don't envy him having to make that drive. So he is taking the evening off. I spoke to Dr. John earlier today. He is doing fine and wanted me to pass on all some good wishes to everybody. And he is doing good, just taking some much-needed time off to kind of catch up the health a little bit. So good knowing he's doing good.
I miss talking to Dr. John. I'm going to have to call him and check on him.
He sounded very, very good on the phone, so that did my heart a lot of good this afternoon when I spoke to him because sometimes you don't have to see somebody to know that they're doing well. You can just hear them, and that was indeed the case. So let's see here. I'm going to try to get my speaker going here. Can everybody hear all right?
I can hear you fine and dandy.
Oh, I can hear you.
That one. Okay. For some reason, my speaker does not want to work tonight, so we'll be going on to lo-fi this evening here in the woods. So with all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pass it around to my esteemed panel. Be it small, we will persevere and put on a 90-minute show tonight.
This is what our favorite saying is in Arkansas for our Arkansas Moose Association. We may be small, but we are mighty.
There we go. Well, by God,
I like it.
With that being said, Miss Granny. Granny Hulkster.
Well, hello. Hello, everybody. Hello, Tim. I'm good. You know, so I was sharing with you before the show started. I am calling tonight from the very wonderful Sunflower State of Kansas. I'm not actually in Arkansas this evening. I've been up here at my mom's in Kansas. She had a couple of days episode where her blood pressure got kind of low, and they said she was a little dehydrated, which she can't figure that out, but she was in the hospital for a couple of days. So she's home. She's doing well. So I actually drove up Sunday from Arkansas to kind of help her with some things and help her take care of some things, and I'm actually going back to Arkansas tomorrow. So.
Yeah, outstanding. Good to hear you got up there and helped your mom out and everything. And, you know, of course, pass on all the best wishes and everything from all of us here at Culture Stars.
Yes, I will. And I've got to share a funny thing for you. My mom was teasing my husband about making sure he got all the girlfriends out of the house before I got home. I said, well, make sure you get the black lady out. And my mom's expression was like, "What? What are you talking about?" Well, we call our basset hound the Black Lady because she's black and white. She has very little brown in her. She's mostly black and white, so we call her the Black Lady.
my mom's
expression was like, "What?" I said, "Mother, not a real lady. The Black Lady is in the backyard."
Careful, we're going to get the podcast shut down. Careful there.
Yeah, we made them even worse, yeah.
So I had to specify to my mother that it was a dog that I was talking about, not an actual lady.
Nice.
Whew.
I just thought I'd bring some
laughter to the episode tonight.
I got to share with you, Tim,
really quick. I don't know how much you heard of the conversation before the show, but my mother actually took me out for dinner to a really nice restaurant. It's called the Metropolitan Steakhouse up here in Leavenworth, where she lives. And I tell you, she took me out for an early Mother's Day gift so we could have a nice Mother's Day dinner together before I went home. I had the most amazing steak I think I've ever had in my whole entire life. It was a 10-ounce ribeye, and it was called a Philly steak ribeye. It had green peppers, grilled onions, Swiss cheese melted on top of the steak. It came with green beans with bacon bits and your choice of potato, salad, or soup. And it was absolutely to die for. The steak was so tender. Oh, my gosh. It was absolutely amazing.
Nice. Sounds good.
And she bought a T-shirt for her and a T-shirt for me from that restaurant. And the front of the shirt says Leavenworth, Kansas. And on the back, it says the little steakhouse across from the big house. Because anybody that knows anything about Leavenworth, Kansas, it's pretty much right across the road from the federal penitentiary.
Yeah.
And everybody used to tease me when they find out I'm from Leavenworth. They say, oh, did they let you out early or did you escape? And I said, neither one, because I was never in. And, of course, I found out we had some tornadoes hit in Arkansas while I was gone over the weekend. We had some tornadoes hit in Mulberry and near the Van Buren area down by Fort Smith, from what I understand. So
they get all the fun down there.
But
I want tornadoes here in Indiana.
We haven't had
hardly anything.
I know, but other than that, everything's good. Like I said, I'm missing my family down home, so like I said, I'm heading back tomorrow. So, but everything, other than that, everything's good, so.
Outstanding. Good to hear you doing well. And, again, pass on the well wishes to your mom. Parents mean everything.
I will.
So it's good to hear.
That's for
sure. She's doing well and hanging on in there. So, Tim, in Indianapolis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding to super. Now I'm not going to do the whole Todd thing. I've ripped him off once or twice, but I won't do it. He's not here to defend himself. I won't do it. No, everything's great here. Todd's actually back in sort of my neck of the woods, and we've got like a little bit of a – we usually always do this weather thing at the beginning of the show, right? So I'll just tell you now, it's a little cold out, but overall, our climate, it's getting better. So last week I was almost out on the porch when we were doing the show, but looking forward to a good show. So we'll get going.
Outstanding. Yeah. Good to have you on this evening. And the weather here is actually pretty nice. It's a little stagnant. I've got my tiki torches lit, thereby running off the bus sized mosquitoes that we have here in Eastern North Carolina.
Nice.
But
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nifty in the evening time. I light up my little torches and everything, and at night you walk out here and it looks like paradise out here. And then when the sun comes up next day, you see bad deck boards and all that stuff. It looks like San Francisco. So pretty nice in the evening times because it hides up all the bad news. But we looking forward to a good show tonight. And before we push forward, I just want to give a personal thanks to everybody out there for all the happy birthday wishes last week. Sunday was my 30th time turning 21, and just as fate would have it, I worked through the whole damn day, but nevertheless, I had one heck of a week prior, spending it with my lovely wife, Dale, and doing everything from going down to Southport, hanging out in the house, going out to eat, and just spending some time together where we're not knotted up over work and the normal stresses of adult life. So, yeah, I want to thank everybody for all the well wishes and everything. It means a lot to this old man. And be honest with you, when I look around, and I say this every year, and every year I mean it more, the people who text and call and sent notes on Facebook and all that good, I look at them. And, when you're young, you always want to be popular. When you're in school, you want to be the popular guy. Well, the older you get, the less popular you want to be, but the better quality of people you want to be with. And
Very
now,
true.
Here I am. I got I want to say close to 400 messages on between Facebook and everything else. And with the exception of Todd, I can tell you guys every one of them was a quality people. And I have – maybe Todd's listening and he got all that. But I have reached the promised land. I have quality and I have quantity, and I could not be happier and more humbled. So thank you, everybody, and very much obliged. And here's the doing another 361 days, making it on to 52. God willing. So with all that being said, we were kind of searching around for topics this evening. And knowing we were going to have the abbreviated panel tonight, I wanted to kind of get something that was going to maybe get everybody together on the same thing. And I got to thinking about Star Wars. Now, normally here on the podcast, we have a bad habit for starting off the show with talking about, you know, prenatal drug abuse, and it ends with a conversation about Manwich. So chances are we will start up with Star Wars and it'll drift to other topics. But the reason why I figured I'd go with Star Wars is because, first off, May 4th is, of course, Star Wars Day. And Bad Batch released yesterday, if you have Disney Plus and took the time to watch that. And Star Wars is one of those things that it has pretty much affected, either directly or indirectly, just about every damn person, especially here in the United States. So figured we'd start off there and just let nature take its course. So first off, did anybody watch Bad Batch by chance? Say good.
Yeah, you're going to get a no here.
No, I didn't either, so.
Well, I will tell you this. After having a little bit of disappointment in the two Marvel series, the WandaVision and the Falcon and Winter Soldier, they weren't bad to me. They were just not quite. For various reasons, nevertheless, watching this first episode of Bad Batch, it's an hour long, hour and some change, and very compelling, and I'm not going to say totally dark, but the kiddie element is certainly taken out of it. So I was impressed with the first show. Get a chance to take a look at that on Disney Plus. It's well worth the hours worth of watching. So,
I don't have Disney Plus, but for a while we were borrowing an account, and I'll leave any names out so I don't get anybody in trouble. But we were borrowing an account, and happened to catch The Mandalorian, and I don't know how many. I liked that show. It was totally not what I expected. I thought it was going to be a whole new storyline thing that you had to get into. And there probably are bits and pieces. Just, you know, I've only seen just a handful of the episodes. But what I thought was kind of cool was each episode is its own story. And I don't even think they were that long. I'm not even sure if they were an hour long.
No.
But that's like the easiest I can relate to, because that's all I've seen. Besides what you're talking about, that's what I saw on Disney Plus.
Yeah, Mandalorian really kind of set a very, very high bar for everything else that's coming out, because it was just that good. And the interesting thing about The Mandalorian is that for all of us, and we can segue into this and veer off Star Wars if the case comes along, but, you know, now as a lot of us that are the 40s, 50s range, what we were getting beat up for in school, we are doing now and not getting beat up over, if you understand my meaning. there are families that actually have Dungeons and Dragons nights. And where, you know, you've got, you know, dads who are, you know, late 40s, early 50s, whatever, and had always enjoyed playing but played in the closet for fear of being ridiculed. You know, even Star Wars to a certain extent when I was in school, you know, you wore a Star Wars shirt to school, you'd get thumped. And, you know, now people wear Star Wars shirts to weddings and everything. So what they did with The Mandalorian is they wrote it. They wrote it as a fan, I guess is the best way to put it. They didn't try to address any type of agendas. They weren't trying to push any type of thought pattern down your throats or anything like that. It was just basically picking up on a story and making it real, making it true to the first three movies. And I think that's the biggest point, and that's the reason what made it such a success is the fact that nothing is like the first three, you know. Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. There have been good follow-ups, but they're not the first three. And, you know, they had Rogue One that had come out. And I think it caught everybody by surprise. You know, I don't think anybody was really expecting anything out of Rogue One, but then when they watched it, it totally smoked their shorts, and they were like, wow, what just happened? So I think they all, the powers that be, kind of took that opportunity and took The Mandalorian and actually made that in the same era, made it true to the series, and didn't try to reinvent anything, just continued on with it. And it was fantastic. I mean, The Mandalorian is just absolutely incredible. So so with all that being said, now, do you guys have any fond memories and or, well, Granny Hulkster, you know, you and your wrestling, for crying out loud. you know, there was a time, too, when, at least ways down here in the South, now, down here in the Southeast, you know, wrestling is to a certain extent religion in some places. But nevertheless, when I was in school, you know, everybody's walking around talking about Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach and all those guys, and I'm walking around strutting like Ric Flair hitting the woo. And, you know, I was one of those weird kids that watched wrestling. Now wrestling is like one of those things where, you know, people are naming their kids after wrestlers and everything. Did you run into any of that kind of stuff when I would imagine you've been a lifelong wrestling fan. So, I mean, how?
Well, I've been a wrestling fan for, you know, a very long time. I mean, you know, I mean, where I lived, you know, I mean, of course, I was near Kansas City, so, you know, you have Harley Race, you had Rufus R. Jones, you had Bob Geigel, you know, I mean, a lot of big-time name people up here in the Kansas City area, you know, and so, yeah, you know, I mean, I remember going to a wrestling show, I think I was in high school, and or I just either gotten out of high school or it was like my last year of high school or something, but I went to Abel's Field where we had our high school graduation at, and they had a wrestling show there. And of course, Bulldog Bob Brown, you know, he was the bad guy that night. And of course, they had to push him out in a wheelchair, and then he got in the ring and did his match. And of course, and this was way before Granny Hulkster was ever even thought of. You know, Granny Hulkster didn't even exist back in the 80s. You know, I mean, I hadn't even existed yet. I was just Lori, you know, I was this wrestling fan Lori, you know, back then. And he's like, ladies, sit down and shut up and eat your hot dog. <You know? laughs> But I tell you, I've got to share a funny story with you. My uncle, I went to see my uncle. He was married to my mom's sister, and, of course, she's been gone several years, and he got remarried to a very good friend of the family's. You know, my aunt had a daycare in her house for many years. They called it Granny's Playhouse. You know, she took care of kids. And the woman that he's married to now, Becky, my aunt used to take care of one or two of Becky's kids in her daycare back in the day, you know. So Becky's been a family friend for a long time, you know. And so anyways, my uncle had found a video. It was actually two parts to this video from a wrestling show from UWE back in, that was in Jay, Oklahoma, a little town in Oklahoma, from like 9 years ago. And in this video, I'm actually not wearing my yellow granny shirt. I actually had my friend that made my yellow granny shirts for me. She actually made me a pink one time. It says, the one, the only granny Hulkster, and on the back it says, hey, shut up and wrestle. I'm actually cutting a promo in this video. I've got a microphone in my hand. I'm talking to this tag team, this heel tag team, you know. And I said, and you talk about your little Princess Brittany. Well, the UWE board of directors contacted me, Granny Hulkster, and I am going to be queen instead of Brittany. And I had I was wearing a little tiara that night, and my friend John Cross was bowing behind me. You could see, and the stipulation was that if Fuel lost this match against Damon Storm, the guy he had to wrestle, I had to wear this shirt for that tag team. And I didn't like that tag team because they were the heels. So here I'm having to put on this shirt, right? Well, I put it on over my granny shirt. So I took the shirt off and I gave it to John. And then the next part of the video, like, oh, wow, this is a really nice shirt. And he lays it down on the floor, the ring, and he steps on it. And Phil says, oh, man, John, look what you just did. And then he kind of shoved it up with his foot again. Well, Phil picked it up, and he's looking around, and he sneezes on this shirt. I had not seen that video in years. I'm going to have to send it to you guys so you guys can see it or post it to Facebook when I get home. But it was so funny. I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there watching this video from 9 years ago. And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, you talk about Throwback Thursday. I mean, that was, oh, my God. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's, and, you know, wrestling's another one of those ones that, you know, now, if you're not a wrestling fan, you're a geek. So it's kind of funny how the worm has turned on that, you know, that event and everything. Now, Tim, did you have anything out there, perhaps a hobby or something you were into? Another one that comes to mind is comic books. I remember when I was in fourth, fifth grade, you know, I'd have a comic book. And, you know, I'd get the, you know, the teacher, you should be reading Charles Dickens. I'll be damned. I'm reading the Fantastic Four. And, you know, catching hell from your teacher. Hey, I'm reading, Dick. Leave a guy alone. I'm still reading, you know, for God's sake, just because I want to read Call of the Wild or some 400-page book that's going to put me to sleep. I'm still reading, you know. So, Tim, did you have anything out there that, you know, you caught hell for when you was a kid, but now suddenly now is cool?
Oh, probably not. What I was going to say, I wouldn't say it makes me cool now. It probably just makes me look more like a dork. But I'm sure that, you know, for me, it was action figures. I was all about my G.I. Joes. And, you know, every year, like, I played with G.I. Joes probably, you know, till I was almost in middle school. And the other kids, like the in crowd, you know, they were all talking about sports, Monday Night Football, their favorite quarterbacks. I didn't know any of that. Like, I became a football nut, but not until I was about 22, 23, when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about sports. So, you know, they would talk all their sports and do all that. Every once in a while, I'd play basketball. But when I went home, I played G.I. Joes. That was it. And I still have all that crap, and it's over at my mom's house. And she's begging me to take it.
It's funny you mention that stuff because I've been doing, unfortunately, my man cave turned into the bomb shelter when we were remodeling our house. And everything got shoved down there. And some things came up. Well, then, to make it quite honest, when my book royalties never showed up, I had to go back out to being a 70-80-hour-a-week working stiff to catch everything up. So the house got done, but everything got left in the man cave. So I've been excavating, and that's the only way to put it. I mean, damn, if they want to do another episode of Hoarders, they can come on and just go into that one room. So I've been going through, and I am not. I had in my hand some old G.I. Joe file cards earlier that I had since I was like 12, 13 years old. So, yeah, ripe old 51, it still counts. You know what I mean? It's still one of those things. But if you stop and look at all those things that we were ridiculed for back in those days, you know, your wrestling, your G.I. Joes, your comic books, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, that kind of stuff. Look at the amount of revenue. I mean, when you stop and look at movies, okay, think about all the football movies. And about all the geek movies. You know, which ones have been the most successful? And it's people out there embracing their inner geek. It's people out there coming out of the nerd closet, if you will, and saying, hey, yeah, you know, I'm a fan. I remember when I wore an Indiana Jones hat, the fedora, at the school. I might have been ninth grade, and I had something close to that felt fedora. I wore it at school, and I swear to you, it's a damn wonder I even got a prom date 5 years later. I mean, because I got roasted for liking Indiana Jones. And, of course, you know, here I am all these years later posting the artifacts that we found in Southport, and everybody's on Facebook going, ooh, and ah, and I'm going, yeah, well, it's cool now, but but yeah, it's amazing how all that has kind of changed around, and it's a good thing too, because people need to be allowed to be themselves, and unfortunately that was something you know, back 60s 70s 80s, there was a certain decorum that had to be met. A lot of times it's stifled creativity. And yeah, I always joke all the time, you know, I'd be in class, flip my notebook open, and I'd be drawing, you know, rhinos with armor on fighting a giraffe with you know, like a samurai armor on, and the teacher would catch me and, you know, Mr. Atwell, you're never going to doing this. And then the Ninja Turtles came out. Yeah, thanks, Peach. Really dorked me out of a couple billion dollars that way, Chick. Thank you. Very much obliged.
Nice.
You know, you didn't want to be the guy with the Spider-Man backpack when I was in fifth grade. And nowadays, you don't want to be the guy with the plain backpack. You know what I mean? It everything has changed around with that. So now, with y'all having children and all of us being in various age ranges and everything, when your kids were in school, did you go ahead and throw caution to the wind and say, hey, you go ahead and wear this Ninja Turtle shirt, I could care less? Or were you one of these ones that just kind of, you know, told them to keep that kind of stuff to themselves?
I was coming down the stairs. Repeat the first part. Repeat the first part of what you said.
No, I was just speaking about your kids. You know, now that we're adults, you know, and I can recall, you know, my mom, you know, no, you can't wear that R2-D2 shirt to school. Class pitcher's day, you're not going to wear that shirt. And, you know what I mean? And everything had to have a certain decorum. You know, the teachers would get, you know, you wore a Superman shirt to school, the teachers would shoot you, you know, a nasty look and everything. But now that we have children, were you all, and I say children, I mean, you know, got them grown, we got them still in school, but how did you guys handle when your children were coming along, and still are at that matter, but did you let them embrace the inner geek, or were you the ones that kind of just said, okay, guys, not in class?
You know, for me, I have to say, I usually try to default to my wife when it comes to how they're prepared to go to school. You know, for a while, like when Kim was laid up, I did, and finally they're both to a point where they can pick out their own clothes, which the more on their own they can be with that kind of stuff, the better off, you know. But no, when it comes to, I mean, here's the problem is, it's just a total different generation. I'm not trying to go on off on a tangent here, but with technology and innovation and the way things have changed, it's just, and it happens from generation to generation. You know, there's always it's ever changing. And so what I mean by that is, like my son, he's got toys. I'm the one who buys them for him because I think, oh man, this would be so cool. I would love this if I were this age. You know, like I can imagine being that age and. You know, the toys that they come out with now, those are, you know, they got some really cool stuff. And so I get it, and it just sits there. There's things that I got my son a year and a half ago just sitting there in a toy chest upstairs because I can't get him off of his phone or off the computer. So, you know, it's just a total different. And there's the thing, like back when I was that age, I'd have killed to have a computer, but you just didn't unless you were rich. You know, unless your family was pretty well off, you know, because computers, that was no joke back then. And you had to have the whole nine yards with it. But nowadays, I mean, heck, you can go to Walmart and find some cheapy off-brand for, you know, just a few $100, a couple $100, and you're set. So it's just completely different. It's hard to compare, you know.
Now, see, that brings up a very good point there.
And with my son, he's 34, so, you know, he was back in the day of, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Thundercats, I mean, you know, just, you know, and my son got picked on a lot when he was in school. I mean, he was not very well liked, and, you know, my son just, he came home one day, and he was so depressed, and I said, what's wrong? He says, Mom, I just want to fit in, you know. I mean, he was bullied so much when he was a kid. I mean, it was very sad. If he wanted to wear a Power Ranger shirt, you know, and you know, I had to kind of, you know, the school sometimes, you know, they had when his age, you know, like, you know, if as long as it didn't have any kind of violence on it, like if it was just a picture of a Power Ranger with no weapons or whatever, then they were okay with that. But, you know, I tried to follow by the way the school, I mean, it wasn't like he had a specific school uniform he had to wear because he was just in public school. But, you know, I let him have his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirts or his Power Ranger shirts or Transformers or whatever, you know, I mean.
Yeah, because, you know, I threw caution to the wind to a certain extent with Rob. And it's kind of funny because I'm like an amalgam of what both of you guys were speaking on is, you know, the older I got, the less I started caring about what other people said. Not to mention the fact that, you know, when I hit 30 and I started putting on some weight, now at a robust 210, I'd really like for somebody to call me a geek. but, you know when you're the little guy and everything in school and all, you know, you know that kind of stuff. It affects you, you know. And going on what Tim was saying, you know, I recall when I was, because I'll admit it, even when I was, you know, and this is going to sound awful, and y'all are going to laugh when I use this term, post-laid age, because let's face it, whether you get laid when you're 16 or you get laid at 22 or you get laid at 5, God forbid, there's a certain change that comes about you. And especially with guys have a different kind of thing about them when they become sexually active. So, of course, you know, you start worrying about your hair and you got to worry about all this other nifty stuff, whereas before you get laid, you ain't worried about whether combing your hair or brushing your teeth. It doesn't bother you at all, you know. So even my post-laid years, I still enjoyed getting the the lightsabers for Christmas and that kind of jazz. So, you know, you go to school, and, you know, everybody comes in there with their members-only jackets on and their Air Jordans and that kind of stuff. And what'd you get, Dave? I got some stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Anthony was, I think it was in the second grade, and I was going to nursing school at the time in Harrison, Arkansas, and there was a restaurant, it was a Shoney's restaurant, and they had this drawing thing where your son or daughter could be a ball boy or a ball girl for an Arkansas Razorback basketball game. Well, his name got chosen. So, and he might have been, well, no, come to think of it, he was probably fourth grade, because that was shortly after he had the osteomyelitis, because he almost died and everything. So I saw Guy Whitney there at the back, and I asked him if I could get Anthony's picture with him. And Guy says, well, of course, no problem, because he had a friend that knew Anthony, you know, and he said, well, this is a really special young man, and he kind of explained Anthony's story to him, you know. And the usher says, oh, well, we can't have this. And Guy Whitney says, yes, we can, and we are going to do it, and you were going to let her take her picture of her son with me. So I had it put in the Eureka Springs newspaper. Well, the kids at school, oh, you really didn't do that, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, Anthony he pooped out his chest, and he whipped that picture out of his wallet. And he says, told you so. And he was so proud of himself, you know.
That was the thing. And I recall, speaking on the wrestling tip, I remember – we've spoken on the show before about, you know, my dad used to take me to the fights in Savannah, and I was 6th, 7th grade then. And I'd go to school the next day, and I'd be like, dude, you never guess, man. You know, I went out there, and I saw, you know, Ole Anderson and Wahoo McDaniel in an Indian strap match. I saw Ric Flair put, you know, Ricky Steamboat in the figure four. And here I am just getting all into it, and I've got this whole classroom full of kids like, y'all stay away from the Fatwell kid. You know, it was kind of a different thing. But, you know, now pull-ups, that was something. Hey, go ahead. But, you know, when it comes down to it, that's where, you know, with Rob, and I'll admit it, I have one of each. I have a boy and a girl, and I was a total strikeout with my daughter. I didn't get anything right. But with Rob, on the other hand, it was like a renaissance for me. It was one of those things where I was like, okay, time to get all this stuff out of these boxes and share them with somebody. And so, you know, when I sent him to school, I didn't have a problem at all putting him in a Spider-Man shirt. I didn't have a problem at all giving him a Transformers backpack, you know? And it's kind of funny, though, is that, you know, I sent him off to school wearing a Hulk T-shirt, and I'm, you know, as I'm seeing him walking into the school, I'm crossing off and hitting the Hail Marys, going, please God, don't let him get teased for their shirt. And, you know, he'd come home. Hey, how'd everything go? Man, everybody liked my shirt. And to a certain extent, I thought he was lying. But I was starting looking around, and I'm like, wow, you know, he's not alone. That kid's got a Spider-Man shirt. That kid's got a Darth Vader shirt. And so I found it pretty interesting the way things had turned, you know. And it's good because stifling creativity is a sin. I don't give a damn. I released my first book at the age of 44, and I still felt I felt like perhaps I was doing something that was going to disappoint or tarnish my family name. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where if you're going to write a book, then you have to write it about George Washington. You can't write fiction. It has to be a report more than anything else. But, yeah, stifling that creativity. And, you know, so if kids want to draw on the back of their notebook, you know, let them. Now, of course, you know, if the kids are drawing, you know, their parents beheaded and that kind of stuff, yeah, you might want to get involved. But by and large, you got your kids out there and, you know, they're doing creative writing or they're doing the, you know, creative art and all that kind of jazz, man, then let it go. How do you think Star Wars and Marvel and DC and all that kind of stuff got invented? It got invented through creativity. So.
Yep. I will say I was one of the kids. You know, they had the way that you sell action items is you make these play sets that are just unfathomable, you know, like the dirt mounds and all that. Like it would take kids months. And, you know, to try to build out a playing field for all their toys. But that's what you would see in the commercials. Well, when I got my toys, that's what I tried to recreate. Like, I'd get yelled at for it, but I would take my stuff and I would go make up forts like using the ditch. And I would, like, that's what I was all about, is making up their forts. That was half the fun of playing like G.I. Joe's. You'd have all your, you know, cars parked. You'd have everything stationed, like, you know, where things could, like attacks could come from, all that. It was all a part of creativity. You didn't have to sit in front of a computer monitor or anything like that. I mean, yeah, you had your toys out there with you, but just, you know, coming up with my own play set, that was fun. The other thing I was going to mention, though, that I'm trying to think of the word that I want to use here, I guess closets, hobby or whatnot, was I was really into. And, I mean, this is just a lot of people in general. It doesn't really matter what age, but I was really into guns and, like, BB guns. And I got picked on mainly by my brothers because my brothers were, you know, quite older than me. So all the immaturity that was coming out of me and, you know, I mean, I was kind of at a middle school age into high school. I was still running around, you know, in camouflage, hiding from things and, you know, shooting targets with my BB gun. And you know, I figure some people probably look down upon that, or that just the dorky kids did that. I don't know. I don't care. But that kind of carries forward now. I mean, I still have my guns, and I got all excited when we moved out here to the rural area on 3 acres, and I can shoot crap out in my yard. I don't disclaimer here. I don't actually shoot any animals. And funny story, I guess I'm the one taking us off to a tangent here. Sorry about this, but just a quick story have no worries, I'm not hunting any animals, because when I was about 12, I got my first BB gun, and my grandma was the one who lived, like, she was really out in the middle of nowhere, and I had that BB gun, I was going around, I had a scope, and I was, you know, just trying to work on my aim, and I saw I don't know how far away I was, but I saw a bird perched on a fence post, and I was real calm, and I looked at my scope, and I got it, and I took a deep breath, and I kind of knew I'd already adjusted my scopes. So I felt like I was, you know, on target. I hit it, and I saw the thing start to fly away, and I was like, dang, I missed. And then I saw it droop down and hit the ground, and I was like, oh, my God, I got it. And I ran up, and I watched the thing die, and like in this, yeah, sorry, sob story moment here, but in a couple of, you know, seconds, I was like, why the frick did I do that? You know, like, what in the world did I do that for? And actually, I got pretty upset about it. So I buried the damn thing, and I have not shot an animal since. So, which makes it tricky. If you're a gun lover, it makes it tricky because it's like, well, now what do I shoot at? You know, so you just find stuff around the house, whatever, and set it out and see how cool it blows up when you shoot at it with a .22, you know. But anyway, guns was the other thing.
I totally agree with you on that. I've done the same thing where accidentally, you know, I'll never hit it, and actually hit it, and was just totally mortified. And not taking anything away from any hunters, I mean, for crying out loud, my uncle, he's one of these guys that
right.
does the range hunt where they fly them in a helicopter and they drop them in the middle of Manitoba somewhere. And
right, right.
Some of the stuff that he's done is just absolutely incredible that I would never be able to pull off. But, you know, me, I'm the same thing. Dress up like Elmer Fudd, sit in the damn blind for 4 or 5 hours, see a deer come up, and, you know, you go to shoot it, you're like, well, look at it. My God, it's a beautiful animal, you know, and you never shoot the damn thing. So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny, though, you talk about the rifles and the camouflage and all that kind of jazz. If there was something that I did catch hell for, though, as a parent, is Rob liked his camouflage. Rob had an affinity for the shooting games. You know, he Call of Duty and that kind of now – folks, you got to remember, it's not the Call of Duty that you get now. You know, they back in the day, all the Call of Duty games were about World War II. And,
yep.
You know, so he would play those, and he got into the whole World War II scene. And, you know, so he wanted to wear his, you know, his camouflage and everything. And I know I had several teachers. And I understand post-Columbine world, those teachers are probably taking notice of that kind of stuff. Your kid wears a lot of black or wears camouflage or, you know, is acting a certain, you know, profile, then, yeah, I'm sure they got to be concerned. But I recall Rob wearing a Call of Duty T-shirt. He was like sixth grade. And he came out. I went to pick him up, and he came out, and he had his shirt on inside out. And the first thing I thought was, holy Jesus, he went to school with his shirt inside out. Everybody's going to think he's a damn moron because. Well, come to find out that the teacher, when he went to class, the teacher sent him to the office, and they made him wear his shirt inside out. So when
wow.
I saw that, I picked him up and was just like, hey, bud, I says, did you know you had your shirt inside out? You didn't wear it like that all day, did you? And he goes, yeah, well, they made me do it. And, of course, it was, argh! Say what? And he said, yeah. He says, they sent me to the office and told me I had to wear it inside out or have a different shirt, and I didn't have a different shirt. I said, why? He says, because they said it had guns and it meant violence. I said, okie dokie. Next thing you know, I'm pulling in. I'm just moving my truck about 20 feet into a parking space, and I walked in that school. I said, let me ask you people something. And poor old Rob, you know, you can just see the morphing in this kid's face. And I said,
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Take your jersey off, flip it right side out for me. I need to use it for discussion purposes. And Rob, you know, here I am telling my son to strip in the principal's office. But I said, I need to know what's violent about this shirt, because it was an American flag, okay? It was a huge American flag with a silhouette of a soldier on it, like a World War II combat soldier, right? And across the bottom it said, Call of Duty. So I says, what's violent about this? And the teacher, or the principal tried to give me this cock and bull about, well, it had a gun on it. I said, where does it have a gun on it? I said, it's silhouetted. And I said, let me take this a step further. We live in Onslow County, which a third of Onslow County is ate up by a base called Camp Lejeune, or Lejeune. And it is the largest Marine Corps base on the East Coast. So you explain to me how the hell wearing an American flag with the silhouette of a soldier on it is bad, because if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be able to tell my son to turn his shirt inside out.
Yeah.
So, of course, the principal's standing there, you know, she's stumbling over her words and everything, and I just basically threw my hands up and I says, fine, you know, he's only got 3 more months in this class, or he's got 3 more months in the school, and we're out here anyway. Pound it up your ass. And then, of course, when I got in the truck, I got to thinking, I said, oh, boy, Rob's going to have a rough 3 months. But, but
yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising for me. But, again, it's another one of those things where, you know, 20 years prior, 30 years prior, I was being chastised for wearing a Batman shirt to school. You know, it wasn't proper attire. So, yeah, interesting how things have turned with that, man. It's
I got to share a funny story with you guys. I have a friend when Tim was talking about shooting the bird, you know. I have a good friend, and he likes to hunt. Well, his oldest boy, Braxley, I think Braxley was 4 or 5, I don't remember, and they were showing this video on Facebook, and he had his little BB gun, you know, and he'd, you know, slowly walk up, and then he'd run real fast, and then he'd slowly sneak up on what it, and I said, Braxley, what were you doing? He says, I was hunting. I said, well, what were you hunting? And I said, and he says, birds. And I said, well, what kind of birds? And he stretched his little arms out. And he says, big birds. He wouldn't tell me like a specific type of bird, but it was like, I was hunting big birds. And my son, he sent a picture of me of his little dog the other day. And Mysterio's got this little camo doggy hoodie thing, and it's got the little hood, and he had his hood up on his head, and he says, going hunting, Grandma, or something like that, and one eye was open, and Mysterio had one eye, like, winking, like, you know, when you close your eye, you're like, you're looking through a scope, and you wink your one eye closed, and there was this picture of Mysterio with one eye open and one eye closed, like, and all he needed was a little gun with a scope on it. I said, well, go shoot me a big deer, Mysterio, because Grandma wants to make some deer chili. But but it's so funny. I mean kids say the darndest things anyways, you know, but that was so funny when I asked Rex, I said, well, what kind of bird, you know? He says, big birds, you know. You didn't tell me what kind, you just said big birds, you know. And
that reminds me of the cartoon. It usually rolls around on Thanksgiving. And it's got all of the Sesame Street characters, and they're sitting around, and,
yep,
and Big Bird's been cooked on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites.
You know, it's funny how you mentioned that one, too, because when I was a kid, Sesame Street was one of those socially acceptable geek moments you can have. I couldn't wear a Spider-Man shirt, but if I wore a Cookie Monster shirt, the teachers didn't give me any flack.
Right.
And now, you know, it's one of those things. You send your kid to school in a Cookie Monster shirt, he might not make it back. Unless it's one of those white-ass Cookie Monster shirts, which, you know, when it comes down to Sesame Street, Cookie Monster and the Count, I don't care if I'm 80. Cookie Monster and the Count still kick ass. So,
I like Grover.
You can't forget about Grover, especially when he's Super Grover. You can't forget about Super Grover, you know.
Yeah.
That he do that.
Can't forget
here.
About Grover.
Yeah. Well, the Muppet Show was another one. You know, bringing up stuff that used to get beat up over, the Muppet Show was another one. I religiously watched the Muppet Show when I was a kid, and you know, you'd go to school the next day talking about it, and all the kids were looking at you like, freak. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, here it is later. I mean, for crying out loud, nobody talks about all the shows that used to be on, but they're still talking about the Muppet Show, you know. And what's on Disney Plus? All the Muppet Shows, you know. Because Muppet Show was funnier than hell. And if you watch it now, you didn't notice it when you was a kid, but there's an awful lot of adult overtones.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Never on when you was a kid, you know. And now,
well, it's the
you know,
same way with
like,
the cartoons, the Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies and Bugs Bunny, well, which falls into that category, but Tom and Jerry, that's what I was thinking of. There's all kinds of humor that's geared toward adults when you're watching those. But those, man, those are some of the best cartoons ever.
Those are classics. Those are classics.
Yeah. You don't see them on TV that often. I think I found an advertisement for one channel that still has the old school cartoons, but you don't see it that often.
I think down here in Arkansas, it's on I think it's on the MeTV channel.
Okay.
A lot of times my husband will sit there and watch it on a Saturday morning. He'll get up and he'll start watching cartoons. But yeah, when you talk about Tom and Jerry, I always loved the one Tom and Jerry one where Jerry and the little gray mouse, they were dressed like the Musketeers.
Yeah.
And the little gray mouse, see, he was making the little, and he was like, the wind day, Zupanina. And, you know, and he takes the sword and he'll say, touche, this little pussycat. And then the Tom gets his head chopped off in the guillotine, and the little gray mouse, it's like, poor pussycat. That was always one of my favorites. And now, you've heard that, you know, Pepe Le Pew is no more, you know, the cat that always got the white paint on her tail. And, you know, now you can't even see Pepe Le Pew anymore, you know. And
the kids are getting
bugged.
My brother, and I will hand it to my brother, one of these nights I'm going to get my brother on the show because he's another one of those guys that has zero concern about what anybody thinks. God bless him. And he kind of saw the writing on the wall years and years ago and started downloading a bunch of old cartoons. And so he's got them all archived. So that way when they all are being edited and, removed from sight and everything like that, he still has them on hand. But, yeah, I tell you what, the old cartoons, I mean, to this day, I don't know if you guys recall, it was the cartoons from 1951, and it's called Cock-a-Doodle Doggy, right? And my neighbor down the road here has got a rooster, okay? And this damn rooster, I don't know if this damn rooster's got issues. I don't know if this rooster's been dropped on his head at birth. But this thing will carry on all damn day long, right? And to those folks who live in the high rises, they think that roosters, you know, when the sun comes up, they do the cock-a-doodle-doo and then they shut up for the rest of the day. Not this one. This thing carries on all damn day. So there was a cartoon called Cock-a-doodle-doggy, right? And it's the old classic tan bulldog. It used to be on all the droopy cartoons, and he's trying to sleep, and this damn rooster would hit this, and I mean, he did everything from putting this thing on a rocket and shooting it off in the moon, and when you're a kid, you're just laughing like hell at the noise that the rooster's making, right? But then when you turn 51 and you're sitting here trying to damn get a 10-minute nap in the damn recliner.
And the rooster's crowing.
All of a sudden it starts making sense, you know. But, yeah, there was a lot of those. As a matter of fact, speaking on the kids and everything, one of my crowning moments as a parent, because I'll admit it, like I said, I blew it with my daughter, but with my son I was kind of going, okay, you know, I'm screwed up. You got to get this right. Whatever you did wrong last time, you got to do it right this time. Pressure's on, you know. So I was real cognizant of what I was doing around Rob And so anyhow, I bet Rob probably was about 3-4 years old, and I'm working around the house, and I hear him walking around the damn house singing, "Is you is or is you ain't my baby."
That's awesome. And
I says, you know what? I'm doing this shit right, you know? If there's no other validation that I have been a successful parent, it's the fact that my son at 4 years old knew every damn word of that song.
Well, yep. Okay, you want to talk about songs, Dave and Tim. You know, my son was probably 3 or 4, and we love Ray Stevens. You know, we're talking about the streak last week, you know, and everything. We were talking about Ray Stevens last week, I think, you know, on the show and everything. Well, my son, it was so funny. My mom's mother came down for a visit one time, and this was after she got married to the second man she was married to. Her and Bill were married for 15, 16 years, and he was very good to my grandmother. But he says, "Grandma Trudy, Grandma Trudy." I mean, her name was Gertrude, but Anthony would always call her Grandma Trudy. I got something to show you. And remember the song where Ray Stevens would call the woman up? It's Me Again, Margaret.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Ray Stevens song? Okay. So Anthony comes up and he starts doing the like the dialing of the phone. And he had his hand up and he says, "It's me again, Margaret, are you naked?" I mean, it just, you know, and my grandmother, I tell you, my grandmother had such a crazy sense of humor. She came down to Arkansas, you know, one time they came down for a visit, and we went shopping downtown in Eureka Springs. Well, in Eureka Springs, they have all these little shops, you know, tourist shops. You know, they call it the Little Switzerland of the Ozarks. And they have what they call hillbilly briefcases. And what they are, they're men's underwear, like Fruit of the Loom underwear, with wooden handles. And they even have women's hillbilly briefcases, women's underwear with wooden handles, you know. Well, my grandmother bought one of those hillbilly briefcases. She comes running out of the shop. "Bill, Bill, look at that new purse." And she's waving that pair of underwear around. Bill was so embarrassed. He's like, "I don't even know you." He turned around and walked away. And they would go to dances. And my grandmother would take this hillbilly briefcase with her to these dances and show people. Well, we actually had a gentleman. He was part of the Arkansas Moose Association. He lived in Mountain Home, Arkansas, him and his wife, Nancy. His name was Arnold Van Hooven, and they lived in Mountain Home, Arkansas. He would make these hillbilly briefcases, and he made all sorts of different hillbilly stuff, and he would give them to our official visitors at the state conventions. I mean, he would give, like, the men and the women's OV, he would give them these hillbilly briefcases that he made. But, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's so funny, but they're called hillbilly briefcases, and they're just a pair of men's Fruit of the Loom underwear with wooden handles.
Crazy. I would have never thought about anything like that. But, you know, talking about this cartoon, man, as a matter of fact, even today, and I've got a bad habit for it, and I know I hit this at least once a day, but I was flipping through. Something came on. I can't remember what the hell I was doing today. But anyhow, it was an Oprah Winfrey. She was on a commercial of some type or another. And for some reason, they had played this commercial like 3 times straight. And on the third one, I turned around, I hit the, shut up. Don't ask me why. The dogs looked at me like I was crazier than hell. But again, that's stuff you're not going to find in today's cartoons, that type of humor and everything. And to be honest with you, when our kids become our age, you know, thank God Rob had, SpongeBob to fall back on, because we quote SpongeBob around this house every day. We quote more SpongeBob than we do the Founding Fathers, for crying out loud. But, you know, I don't know how many times I have had a bad day and just go on YouTube and I pull up like the Uncle Pecos episode of Tom and Jerry where he's doing the, you know, I can't play guitar without a guitar string.
I was going to mention that when he pulls the whiskers out and he goes, and he's got to restring the guitar.
And he starts singing and he's, and if you listen to the song that he's singing, it's even funnier because, you know, he's replacing all the words to the real song, you know. And, you know, if you can't laugh at that cartoon, then you are truly lost. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, flipping
those things off.
And... Go ahead.
Well, I think I interrupted you. All I was going to say is, you know, especially you can tell they're classics because look at all those. We all remember those like the back of our hand, and it's been that long that I've seen those. And obviously by the time I was watching them, they were repeats anyway. I don't remember when those things were, when they came out, if that was 60s or what. I have no idea. But, you know, they at least played them reruns so that, you know, I was able to watch them all the time. But the funny thing is it was probably about a couple weeks ago, and for my entire life, I've always, you know, I talk to myself all the time. I've never had a problem entertaining myself. And so I'll blow out movie quotes, whatever, things, you know, just randomly walking around. And people are like, who the hell is he talking to? And I'm just doing stuff. Well, about a couple weeks ago, I had to let my wife in on, you know, because, like, she'll hear me do this thing every once in a while. And I said, you've got to see this cartoon. I said, I'll see if I can pull it up. It's the cartoon where there's the cat. It's not Tom and Jerry. It's one of the Merry Melodies or whatever, or Looney Tunes, you know, one of the random skits. But there's a cat that basically has the capability. I think he buys something or he gets something. I don't know. But he basically becomes a ventriloquist. Yeah, and he starts doing his voice. And it's like one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen. And, you know, he's throwing his voice. The dogs are barking up this pole, you know, because, they think he's up there. And then, like, toward the end, you know, he gets caught, and he's doing this, meow, 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 meow. You know, it's just hysterical. And, you know, I showed her the cartoon, and she starts laughing. I'm like, see, they don't make this kind of stuff anymore. Classics.
And those things were funnier than his, the old Tex Avery cartoon. And most of his stuff was like late 40s, early 50s type stuff. And I mean, just the raw humor of it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff right there. And I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. Just because, y'all, the cat, you know, put gunpowder in a barrel and blew, you know, stuck his head in there. It didn't make me as a fourth grader go and do it, you know. But
right.
Those cartoons right there, even as an adult, when you go back and you watch those things, I think I get more out of them now as an adult than I did as a kid, you know, because I'm not missing any of it now. You know what I mean? I'm absorbing every little bit of it. But those things were absolutely and it's funny, Granny was talking about Pepe Le Pew earlier. And not to get on the political aspect of the whole Pepe Le Pew conversation, but, you know, Pepe was not a racist. He was a Casanova. And lest we forget that the cat that he chased always got liquored up at the end of the episode and ended up chasing him. So Pepe was not a bad guy, you know.
That was, you know, like the other day, they showed a Pepe Le Pew cartoon where he wanted to join the Foreign Legion, and you know everybody runs out of the fort, and he's chasing that cat all over the fort, and then all of a sudden he makes up this love potion, and the cat falls in love and starts chasing after him, and he's trying to get away from the cat, you know.
Mademoiselle, you must control yourself. Now, the one that worries me, the one that I think they're going to cancel next, I hope they don't, because if you've ever been on a farm, if you've lived in the city all your life, you won't get it, but if you've ever spent any time on a farm and you watch Foghorn Leghorn cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
They take a whole... whole different meaning, because going back to my rooster analogy from earlier, my neighbor, if you've ever been on a farm, a rooster has got to be the most ornery, ill-tempered. I got no use for roosters. I got no use for geese. Geese are just bad. Nevertheless, sticking to my rooster mantra here, a rooster will walk a quarter mile to go harass a dog that's sleeping and mind his own business. So, you know, you turn on the Foghorn Leghorn cartoon and you see him, the first thing he does is that he walks all the way across the barnyard, picks up a 2x6 and slams the dog in the ass. And I'm going, yep.
One of my favorite cartoons was always Sam and Ralph. The sheepdog and the coyote, you know.
Oh, are they the ones that would clock in at the beginning of the cartoon?
Yeah,
they go punch in,
and they'd go do their thing, and then, like, he'd get ready to hit the coyote on the head with a rock or something, or punch him out, and the whistle would blow, and they'd go have lunch, and then the whistle would blow, and then they'd go back and pick up where they left off, and then at the end, have a good night, Ralph. Have a good night, Sam.
I'm watching these Foghorn Leghorn cartoons as an adult, and all of these things, when he hits that, you know, any of this information filtering through that little blue bonnet of yours, girly. You know, it's just funnier in hell because we've all been there trying, you know, talking to our wives or whatever, and like, are you getting any of this? You know?
The one Foghorn Leghorn cartoon where the chicken hawk shows up and says, I'm the chicken hawk and I'm after these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, "Boy, you don't want to chase those chickens, you know." Foghorn Leghorn, he's trying to talk to that chicken hawk, you know.
I'll never forget when he told that chicken hawk. He says, "What you want is rooster, and I'm not one of them." Now see right over there. Now that's a fine looking rooster over there, and he's pointing at the dog. But when he had to that one little chicken with the glasses. If you have ever been a guy, and I'm one of those guys that I am the last guy you want watching your kids. And I'm one of those guys, you know, and people say, "Oh my God, that's terrible. You shouldn't say that kind of stuff." Hey, at least I'm honest. You know what I mean? At least I'm the guy that looks at you and, you know, if you've ever seen, like, folks in senior centers being abused and that kind of stuff, those people don't belong in there, okay? They're faking it for a buck, and they don't belong in there. At least there's guys like me walking the planet that will walk right up to you and go, "Hey, look, this is a nasty-ass diaper. I could do the pee thing, but the poop thing, I just can't handle it, guys. I need somebody to cut in here, please." "Oh, Dave, oh, well, Jason, hey, sorry, I don't do poop. It's not my thing. I don't even like doing my own poop, you know, so let's get somebody else in here." At least I'm honest enough. You know, so when it comes down to watching kids that aren't your own, you're always on the spot, you know. So that episode where he's sitting there and he's trying to get some common ground with this kid, and let me learn you how to build you a paper aeroplane. I'll say, that'll never fly, boy. And that thing goes up there and shoots his plane down. Or when they're playing hide and seek and he hits that old, that boy need a slide rule to find me in here. Next thing, the kid pulls out a slide rule. I mean, that mess is funny. And God bless those guys who engineered these things, the guys who animated it, the guys who wrote the scripts, the guys who did all the voiceovers, because how they did it without pissing themselves laughing, I would be so non-productive.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean.
And I'll tell you what, another one that sticks in my head, and I mean, Kim keeps the hot tub temperature as high as it'll go. It's set to 104 on our porch. And, you know, she thinks it's just as pleasant as can be. That's warm water to me, 104 degrees. I got to get used to it. And it never fails. When I get in there, I go through the whole Bugs. All I can think of is Bugs Bunny when he's getting in the pot. You know, they're making the pot of boiling soup, whatever. And him,
like,
and he's kind of doing that. you know, and then finally he kind of sits into it. I do that every damn time I get in that hot tub because that's what it feels like. That goes through my head every damn time. I love that stuff. Classic.
When Bugs Bunny puts the
two gangsters in. And you can't forget the Sylvester and Tweety cartoons. I mean, a ton of tall footy cats.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That one,
yeah.
When he joins BA, Birds Anonymous, and he goes through the whole episode trying not to.
Yeah,
lose.
Yeah.
You know,
birds are our friends.
yeah.
I mean, that's some funny-ass stuff right there, you know. And
yeah.
How
I like the one where they were staying in the hotel, and the guy kept, you know, saying, no pets allowed, no pets allowed. And Granny, she snuck Tweety in. She put the cage underneath her skirt and made it look like she had a big buttocks, you know, and everything. And the other person, she's got Sylvester around her neck like a fur stole, and, you know, and stuff. And they're chasing. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the cartoon, you see all these animals running out, you know, like an elephant, a monkey, you know, and everything. And Tweety's like, yes, you did. You did see a pretty cat, a monkey, a dog. <You
know?
laughs>
Can't forget about Roadrunner. Can't leave out Roadrunner.
Oh, no. Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is a little story about the Roadrunner thing. I was playing baseball. I was playing third base. I think it was fourth grade. And playing third base, and for some reason, and not to incriminate, the young man's name was Scott Boyer. I'll never forget this guy. He was pitching. And for some reason, they hit a ball back to the mound. And instead of throwing it to first base to get the guy out, he throws it to third base to me. And I was totally unprepared for it. And this ball hit me right in the damn mouth. I mean,
ow.
I mean, blood everywhere in the whole damn 9 yards. So what does this have to do with Bugs Bunny? I'm glad you asked. Because, you know, when they do that on Roadrunner where they put the rock in the great big rubber band and you get, like, the first-person view of it, that's exactly what the hell it looks like. Because when that baseball hit me in the mouth, it was the size of a basketball when it hit me. I mean, that thing got big quick. And, you know, every time I see one of those cartoons where they're putting a rock in a rubber band, and I'm like, ooh, damn, yeah, I know how that feels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But going back to how that affects our children, I have yet to this day try to drop an anvil on a bird or go out and buy earthquake pills and mix it with the bird seed. You know, it's and I think that's a lot where the world has really robbed itself, where society has really robbed itself. And we've addressed it before on the show about, you know, cancel culture and butt-hurtedness and all that kind of jazz. When you lose that ability to laugh, you are truly lost. And laughing will get you through a lot of stuff if you allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Laughter and the ability to laugh at yourself is priceless. me being 5'7", I was always short. And Christ knows I know every short joke in the book because I've had every one of them thrown on me. And when I started laughing about being short, the short joke stopped. So, you know, the ability to laugh, the ability to accept your own quirks and wear them like a badge and to be proud of them. And going back to our, you know, topic of the evening, you know, the whole geek culture thing, you know, it's your ability to embrace it. And when you show your comfort in it, people are going to leave you alone. So I think those cartoons,
yep,
for a lot of us, especially, you know, me these days, they're therapy. Sitting down and watching an old Droopy cartoon or an old Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
I swear, it just, even SpongeBob. Now, the later SpongeBob, maybe the first three or four seasons of SpongeBob, there is so much relatable stuff in that. But it was so damn funny because they were making fun of life. They were making fun of what happens to us every day and the things that eat us alive, the things that get us down all day long, suddenly are funny because they're making,
yep,
fun of all the stuff that makes us miserable. So if folks were able to just lighten the hell up a little bit and learn to laugh and quit getting so damn offended about everything, use that energy to laugh instead of using that energy to get offended. And you will find you are like me. You will do your daily sit down with your meal, and while you're, you know, eating, you know, you flip over in your laptop and you turn on an old cartoon, and all the bad shit goes away, and your night gets better. So, yeah, I mean, it's a shame they're pulling a lot of that stuff now because a lot of that stuff is genuinely funnier than hell if you allow it to be. So,
oh, yeah.
The gang, all that being said, the three of us have made it to the 22 mark. Can you believe that? And going back to what I was saying about going to from here to there, we started with Star Wars and ended up on Bugs Bunny cartoons. So we have done a fantastic job of managing through the evening and moving around the topic without getting too far from the topic. But
yeah.
We did a fine job tonight despite being a couple people down. So before we pass it around, just want to send another, a good wish out there to our brothers in arms, you know, Dr. John, Todd, and Velvet, Juan, and Malcolm. Just want everybody to know that we're thinking about them and hope they're getting the necessary rest they need, and looking forward to hearing from them again. So with all that being said, I will pass it around, do some quick plugs, and then I will go cue the British lady in, and we will call it evening. So, Granny Hulkster, would you like to start with this evening plug?
Well, sure. I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and just be kind to each other and love each other and, you know, just be safe and, you know, everybody just take care of each other and, you know, hanging out with you guys. I mean, I know sometimes I don't always get to be on every week, you know, for various reasons here or there, but I didn't know if I was even going to get to be on tonight, to tell you the truth, and I thought, well, you know, I better call in, you know, and because I had seen Todd's post earlier and stuff, and so I thought, well, I better call in because they might need me tonight, you know, so here I am, and, you know, it's just, you know, I can't wait to the day where we can all meet up somewhere and meet each other face to face, you know, and just be able to meet each other face to face rather than just talking to each other on the phone every week, because, you know, that's what I love about this podcast. I have made some really great friends with you guys, you know, and everything. And it's just, I can't wait to the day where we get to, I get to meet you guys in person, you know, and give you a high five or what, or a great big hug, whatever, you know. I don't care, you know. I'm a hugger. I like to hug. So Granny's going to give you all a hug, well, you know, one of these days when I get to meet you guys face to face. So that's my plug for the night. I know. I won't put you guys in a headlock, I promise, you know. No headlock, so, you know. But
yeah. Walk in and take one look at me and you're like, oh, Christ, when's the next flight out?
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Well said, Granny. We appreciate that very much. Tim, what do you have to throw out there this evening?
Well, I just figured I'd say it was fun tonight before the show. My granddaughter was over for a couple hours, so that's always fun. Usually that's a Sunday event. She comes over for Sunday evening, but schedules are a little off, and Brandon, my stepson, you know, he was over. And so we kind of – it was already planned. So since he was over here, had Marin dropped off here too, so anyway, spent some time with her. That was pretty cool for a couple hours. But also just wanted to say welcome back to the quote-unquote neighborhood to Todd. I don't know if he's listening right now or if he goes back and listens, but thought I'd give a shout to Todd and just officially welcome back to the woods, because, you know, he was down there by you and recently has come back to town. So welcome back, Todd. Indiana's a little bit cooler right now, but it'll get to warm it up to the weather you've been used to. So that's all I got from here.
Most definitely. Well said. Yeah, it's tough on the heart seeing Todd having a good, and not so much for my sake, but, you know, for Yuki's sake and Connor and Gary and too, because I know, speak from experience, it was tough when my dad left all the time, you know, in the Marine Corps. And it leaves a hole regardless. And so, you know, for him to be going back, you know, all the best thoughts heading his way, because there is an adjustment. And
yep.
And his family, no less, you know, because, you know, there is a hole. And
yep.
I'm just, you know, best wishes to him, the man, and the whole Saxon crowd and everything. So, well said. Very well said, man. So, for my plug this evening, a quick personal one. Now that the coronavirus thing has been getting on the backside of it, as I'd like to think, to a certain extent, I think we just need to go out there and start. The sooner we go out and start living again, the sooner the powers that be will adjust to what we're doing. It's kind of like a road that has a 45-mile-an-hour limit, and everybody does 60. They eventually up the speed limit. You know, I think it's going to be the same way with this. So with all that being said, the cons are coming back out. And I did get an invite from XCon in Myrtle Beach. And with that being said, I think I'm going to go ahead and get a table down there. It'll be the first con I've done in a little over 2 years. And with all that, thanks, British lady, I will likely go ahead and release the fourth book prior to that. So looking forward to getting the Hunger series reignited. And looking forward to seeing everybody again at the cons. Looking forward to actually getting paid royalty payments this time for my work. And so if you're looking for some reading material, get on Amazon, check out the Hunter series for myself, Dave Adwell. And if you're into the southeastern Carolinas area, keep your eye out. I will be out and about. Be looking forward to shaking your hand and talking to everybody. So, with that being said, Granny, Tim, very well done tonight. I sure do appreciate the support. And now that we're drifting into the overtime, I will go in there and cue in the obnoxious British lady. to cut the show off. So as I walk into Atwell Manor, I'd like to tell everybody out there, good evening. Happy Mom's Day coming up this weekend.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Happy Mother's
Thank you.
Day.
Happy Mother's
Thank
Day
you.
To all the moms out there.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening to Pop Culture Stars. We will see you next Wednesday night.
Have a great night,
Y'all
everybody.
Take
Have
care.
Have a good week, too.
Take care.
Take care.